Have you taken the time to say to an older person, "I appreciate what you have done for our church, our school, our community in the years past. I know that I profit because of your work, and I thank you for it." It'd be a humbling experience for you and a great encouragement for them. I suppose every generation thinks that it is superior to other generations. The older people tend to feel the younger ones are going to the dogs, and the younger people tend to feel that the older ones are backwards and stuck in their traditions. But it's been so throughout human history. That is not God's perspective, however. Neither should it be the attitude of the person who knows God. How should the younger generation view the generation that preceded it? Well, I suggest 5 guidelines drawn from practical wisdom and biblical instruction to govern our relationship with our senior citizens. Number 1, respect the person of the aged. We tend to judge a person by his or her physical appearance, and that's a mistake in relationship with a person of any age. We tend to value an older person by their strength, their productivity, their gray hair, the wrinkles on their face, the steadiness of movement, the sharpness of memory, or the accumulation of wealth. But that's not a valid basis to evaluate the worth of a person. All those things are external. The real person is inside all those evident trappings. An elderly person has memories, hopes, dreams, accomplishments, fears, and 1,000 other things, just as does a younger person. They have a life of accumulated wisdom by study and experience. They're worth much, much more than their external appearance. As a pastor, I've found some of my most effective prayer warriors to be the senior saints who are limited physically. I pass on to them subjects for which great intercession is needed. The elderly are not in the way. They're a great asset to the church and the community. Respect them and hold them in high esteem. Number 2, honor the contributions of the aged. Now, no generation is sufficient in itself. When you were born, there was already an established society. There were homes, schools, churches, government, and laws which made your society safe. Who provided all of that? Well, it was provided by those who are older than you, your elders. Or think of your church. Most of us started our Christian life in an established congregation. There were people, buildings, an educational program, a pastor, a time and order of worship, Bible, hymnals, and so forth. Who provided all of that? Well, it came through the work and sacrifices of our elders. We honor them for their ministry before we arrived. Jesus recognized that principle when he said to his disciples, "I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you've reaped the benefits of their labor." So the younger generation may complain that this or that is wrong with the establishment, and sometimes that complaint is valid. But what we have is better than if there were no establishment at all. It's better than anarchy. Have you taken time to say to an older person, "I appreciate what you've done for our church, our school, our community in years past. I know that I profit because of your work, and I thank you for it." It'd be a humbling experience for you and a great encouragement for them. A third thing, regard the wisdom of the aged. There are 2 ways by which we can gain wisdom. On the one hand, we can grow wise through disciplined study. On the other hand, we grow wise through practical experience. So here are Christians who have walked with God for many years. They have been students of Holy Scripture through those years. They have seen God at work in saving the lost, maturing the saved, ministering among nations in 1,000 other ways. They've grown in spiritual wisdom through that study and experiences, haven't they? Well, of course they have. So it behooves those younger than they to listen to the wisdom of the elderly. Now, I do not mean to infer that only the older people are wise. God has not reserved himself to any single age group. But I do say very emphatically that the younger generation should take into consideration the counsel of the older generation, whether they follow it exactly or not. Older people tend to be more conservative than younger people. And each church needs the balance between the enthusiasm of youth and the conservatism of age. Each should respect the other and profit from exchange of ideas and vision in the work of God. 4, enlist the prayers of the aged. I pointed out earlier in this study the importance of the senior saints in having a ministry of prayer in the church. Some who feel left out and useless can be enlisted in that vital ministry. The strength of youth cannot substitute for the power of God upon the witness of the church. Even those who are so infirm that they're confined to home or to bed can still minister through prayer. I recommend a prayer chain in which senior saints are kept informed about issues for which they should pray. I suggest that periodically someone from the church visit every shut-in to pray with them and encourage them in prayer. The pastor might prepare an audio tape of discussion of some precious prayer promise and share answers to prayer. A prayer letter might be sent weekly to keep the prayer team informed, even if they cannot attend church. I heard an elderly person say, "So-and-so called me and asked me to pray about," and they'd mention a subject. That person was so encouraged that someone respected their relationship with God sufficiently to call for their prayers. Now, you can be a blessing as well as receiving a blessing if you will enlist the prayers of the senior saints of your church. Whom can you call today and get them praying with you? Fifth, meet the needs of the aged. There are four areas in which we must be concerned to meet needs: physical, financial, social, and spiritual. We can meet physical needs by seeing the elderly have transportation, food, safety, and comfort in their homes. We can meet financial needs by keeping aware, without intrusion into private matters, when they may need to have a special benevolent help. We can meet social needs by seeing visitors drop by the home or taking an elderly person to church or civic functions. We can meet spiritual needs by seeing that they attend church when they're physically able, taking an audio or video recording of the worship services to the home of one who is confined, reading the Bible and praying with them and for them, and keeping the pastor informed of any special need you discover. Some churches have what they call a SMART team. S-M-A-R-T is an acrostic for Small Maintenance and Repair Team. This is a team of persons skilled in basic carpentry, plumbing, electricity, automobile mechanics, and so forth, who do maintenance without cost to the elderly persons of the congregation. They do it with the words of Jesus in mind, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." What a blessed way to serve the Lord. I conclude with this word of counsel. Trust God whatever your age. He loves you and is ready to receive you now. Father, we're so encouraged by this study. Those of us who are not yet elderly are moving daily toward that stage of life. So grant that we may approach old age without rebellion and with a calm assurance that as our days, so shall our strength be. We want to serve you faithfully, whatever our age. So continue to minister in our lives that we might continue to minister to others for Jesus' sake. Amen.